The effects of the COVID-19 pandemic and the local, state, and federal response to it are wide-ranging, impacting Yuma's biggest and smallest industries. I'm Lou Gumm. This is Arizona Edition on KAWC. Today, we'll explore the impacts of the coronavirus on the local ag industry, which saw markets drop and inventory destroyed. The local ag industry contributes billions to the state and local economy. KAWC's Victor Calderon spoke with Paul Brierley, Executive Director of the University of Arizona's Yuma Center for Excellence for Desert Agriculture. We speak to him just as the winter vegetable season is wrapping up.
Yeah, we just really wrapped it up, basically. Right now, so our main crops now are the summer rotations of melons and wheat and Sudan grass and cotton.
Just what have you been hearing, or what are you aware of in terms of the impact that everything has had on our local ag economy?
So as far as the economy, I think we had a talk also about the workforce. Those are the kind of the two big impact areas. But as far as the economy, it has been hard on the produce because the market has shifted so rapidly. A lot of what is grown here is put into what they call the food services industry. And that's like the bulk packaging that goes to restaurants, suppliers, and airlines and conventions and schools and things like that, and that's probably about half the production that goes to those destinations versus, you know, the grocery store for retail. And so when this all happened and the restaurants closed and schools closed and airlines basically shut down, hotels, you know, all the meetings, basically that for the food service part, the market dropped, you know, almost completely gone, and so you can't just you're sending 50 pound bags of lettuce, you can't just repackage that for the 1 pound bags for consumers. So anyways, that market dried up. The retail market went crazy for a little while with everybody buying stuff to cook at home, but the fresh produce, you know, it's perishable and you can't stock up on it or store it for long. So kind of a crazy thing happened. The initial burst was, you know, everybody bought everything and the shelves were empty at the stores. And so the stores reacted by putting those limits on, right? You can only buy 1 gallon of milk and one thing yogurt, and they put limits on a lot of things. And then nobody was buying the quantity they normally bought. And so the product was still growing, of course, and had to be destroyed because there was no market for it. So the growers went through kind of this phase of a big demand, and then all of a sudden, virtually no demand. And so here at the end of the season, about half the crops were, at least the ones for salad plants for food service, about half the crop was just in because there was no market for it.
So I wanted to ask you about that because we did hear that in other parts of the country, produce was being thrown away just because, like you said, there was a lot of the crop, but not as much of a demand. So you're saying that you did hear that happened here?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. I talked to one, food service salad plant and they were leaving about half the acres behind, meaning they dissed them up. Because, you know, we have a perishable commodity that you have to harvest it when it's ready and sell it at that time. So, yeah, so about half the crop, this particular place was losing, I think, on the order of $50,000 a day just due to that problem.
And what crop would that be?
Mainly lettuce.
Right. Okay, and then you said the other component was the ag, the workforce, and obviously, that has been deemed an essential service, an essential industry. So I know in talking to folks that there wasn't going to be any issues with folks being able to get across the border because the workers obviously were being allowed. But also, obviously they need to put new measures into place like social distancing, health safety measures, but what could you say to the impact that on the workforce?
Yeah, so you actually touched on some of them, and that was a concern when they talked about closing the border, but you're right, they did allow, it is a critical industry, so they were allowed to keep crossing. Yeah, the social distancing is required. You know, there's extra buses running, so they don't have to sit next to each other on the bus. There's extra wash stations and you know, all the hygienic equipment out in the fields. Of course, we're lucky that the ag industry is already so we're so focused on food safety that we have very good hygienic procedures out there as far as people washing and that kind of thing. But it has required adjustments for sure to keep the social distancing in place. And then you got a workforce that maybe people are worried about getting sick. So you see, it was already in short supply, and you add concerns about getting sick. You add maybe unemployment benefits that are enticing. There's different reasons that not as many people show up to work. So an already short labor supply is made even tighter.
And going forward now with the lessons that have been learned, and you said that the fact that, you know, the industry already does focus on food safety, what can you predict for going into next season? And obviously, you know, things could change, but what would you see going forward in terms of both supply and the workforce?
Well, the supply is a tricky thing because you have to have a crystal ball when you plant your crop, because you plant your crop and then it's like 3 months later when you harvest it. So, you know, they generally have their plans mapped out even like pretty soon now. They'd be putting their plans together for what fields are going into what crops at what time. And that's a really difficult decision to make right now. Because they'll delay that as long as they can, but at some point in the summertime, they have to start preparing the fields to plant in the fall. And they'll have to take their best guess of how much to plant, you know, based on what they think the market will be. And, so that's one thing. And then I guess depending on that, if they don't plant as much crop, that won't require as much labor. So that'll alleviate that a little bit, but that'll hurt economically, with the economic impact it has here.
And in closing, is there anything else you want to add about what consumers should know, what in terms of the industry here and what's being done?
I think the only thing we didn't cover is, and we did touch on food safety. The FDA has said that there's no evidence that this disease could be transmitted through the food to people. So it's not a food safety type issue. So it's good to know that's not a concern, that if, you know, this is a respiratory disease, not a
foodborne illness.
Yeah, right. So I think that's good. That's a relief.
Yeah.
But other than that, yeah, it's just trying to navigate that market and then trying to make sure there's a labor supply. The one other labor issue is, a lot of the workforce that comes here is on the H-2A visa program. And that's something that has to be done, you know, quite a bit ahead of time, that you recruit, you know, if you can't get a workforce here, then you recruit down in Mexico to get people to sign up, and you have to deal with several federal agencies to make all the arrangements and get all the approvals and get the visas issued. And there has been concern off and on of whether the federal government will process those at the same, you know, if they'll be able to continue processing those like they have been. And so that's one of the concerns going forward for next season, is to make sure that the federal government keeps processing those H-2A visas so that we can get the workers here.
That is Paul Brierley, Executive Director of the University of Arizona's Yuma Center for Excellence for Desert Agriculture, speaking to KAWC's Victor Calderon about the impacts of the COVID-19 pandemic on the local agriculture industry. I'm Lou Gum. This is Arizona Edition. We'll be right back.